Thanks for pressing play. If you love the serendipitous magic that can only occur in a real conversation, you're in the right place. This is Christopher Lockhead, Follow Your Different, the number one real dialogue podcast for business leaders, entrepreneurs, and category designers with a different mind. We are honored to have Shantae Frazier and Lauren Mitchell, co-founders of WellCapped, with us today. Shantae and Lauren are visionary entrepreneurs who have set out to revolutionize the beauty and fashion industry. Their idea for WellCapped, a service similar to Rent the Runway but for wigs and hair extensions, was inspired by Shantae's aunt and has since become a groundbreaking venture. Both raised in Ohio, Shantae and Lauren brought their wealth of experience in corporate America and their personal backgrounds to the forefront of their new venture. Shantae, a former military officer and consultant, and Lauren, a seasoned corporate professional, combined their expertise to address a unique market need. For Shantae and Lauren, WellCapped is more than just a business. It's a mission-driven endeavor to make high-quality wigs and hair extensions accessible and affordable for everyone. The company also provides free memberships and support to those undergoing chemotherapy. In this conversation, Shantae and Lauren will share the inspiration behind WellCapped, the challenges they faced in pioneering a new category in the beauty industry, and their ambitious vision for the future. They will discuss the power of resilience, the importance of representation in entrepreneurship, and how WellCapped is changing the conversation around beauty standards. Join us as we discover the story of WellCapped and explore how Shantae and Lauren are forging a legacy of innovation, empowerment, and style in the beauty industry. Ahoy, my fellow innovators! Are you tired of just competing in crowded markets? Then it's time to raise the flag of the Category Pirates and chart your own course. The Category Pirates newsletter is your guide through the uncharted waters of category design. Learn from the legends themselves, the captains of category creation, how to frame, name, and claim your very own market niche. Hoist the sails and set a course for untapped riches. Subscribe to the Category Pirates newsletter at categorypirates.com and join the crew dominating brand new categories. Don't settle for being a better version of the competition. Become a true category designer and uncover hidden treasures that await. Set sail with the Category Pirates today at categorypirates.com. Now, as Joey Ramone said, hey ho, let's go.
Well, Lauren and Shantae, it sure is wonderful to see you both.
It's good to see you too. We're excited for the conversation.
Always good to see your face.
Aw, thank you. It's always good to see your face. And so I have a bazillion questions for you two, but before I jump in, is there anywhere special you would like to start?
No, let's freestyle it wherever you want to go.
All right, perfect. Let's maybe start with the business. And so I love the idea for WellCapped. Could you kind of pop the hood for me on how the idea came about?
Yeah, I'll take you back to 2001. I was consulting at PwC. Knew I wanted to get into entrepreneurship, but didn't really know how or what I wanted to build. So I had an ideal I was floating around in my mind. So I went to Fiverr to see if I could find anyone to make a logo for me. And I saw an ad that said, hey, we're looking for entrepreneurs. We'll give you $100,000 and help you come up with an ideal. And it was like 2 days before the deadline. It was for an incubator backed by a generator. I applied, got in, and then for the first 16 weeks, it's a 16-week program, but for the first 4 weeks, each week you're pitching a new idea. And 1 week I had no clue what I wanted to pitch. So I was on the phone with one of my favorite aunts, venting to her, like, I have no clue what I'm going to pitch for these people. And she said, you know, someone should create Rent the Runway, but for wigs and hair extensions. And if I'm being honest, I hated the idea at first. I was like, no one is about to rent wigs or put wigs that someone else had on their head on their head. But I started thinking about it more.
Sounds disgusting, right?
Gross. But I knew I was looking for one of my professors at NYU, Scott Galloway. he used to tell us, if you're looking to disrupt some type of industry, you need to look for, one, an antiquated model. Two, you want to look for a lot of room for growth. And then the third thing that you want to look for is a fragmented market. That way you don't have to compete with Unilever, Procter & Gamble, Amazon. And I started doing the math, and the wig and hair extension industry hit all three of those qualifiers.
And it was your aunt who had the idea?
Yep, my aunt back in Ohio.
What's her name?
Darshanette. And then I told you already, but Lauren and I are cousins. So when I was looking for someone to bring on who could do the marketing part, Lauren was just the perfect fit.
So Darshanette is also my aunt as well.
So it sounds like Darshanette is responsible for WellCapped in a very real way for both of you.
She is.
She is.
And she gave us the ideal in 2021. In 2022, she was diagnosed with an aggressive form of breast cancer. So she ended up having to experiment with wigs and going through the whole trying to find treatment, but also worrying about her physical appearance. So now we offer free memberships to people who are going through chemotherapy.
God bless you both for that.
Thank you.
And I know it can be very tough for men. I mean, when I first started to lose my hair in my early 20s, it seemed pretty daunting at the time. I did get a prescription for Rogaine. I think I put it on my head once or twice, and I thought, what the fuck am I doing? I'm Christopher Lockhead. And plus, this is probably going to be bad for you. And so I just started buzzing and then ultimately shaving my head. But that option is not as open as it is for men as it is for women, is it?
You see men experimenting more with transplants and toupees now, especially since you can get a transplant for $5,000 in Turkey. But yeah, I can imagine in your 20s, maybe, I don't know, what was that, 5 years ago?
Yeah, six, seven maybe, yeah.
It probably wasn't as prevalent.
Although, did you say the men are getting transplants in where?
In Turkey. Yeah, it's all over TikTok. Should look it up.
It's all over TikTok?
Yeah, it's all over TikTok.
Oh, that's why I'm up on the latest trends, because I'm all over TikTok. Now, have you ladies ever seen an episode of this show called Botched?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you do the plastic surgery and it goes bad.
Yeah, and they seem to have an overwhelming number of folks who have some kind of surgery, plastic surgery, in some foreign land, and it goes incredibly badly, and then they have to do extraordinary things to unfuck the situation.
Yeah, that would be hard to explain. If you get stuck in Turkey after a bad surgery,
what that would look like. Bad implant. But then that's why they have wigs too.
Yeah, I don't want some Turkish, I don't know what, squirted into my butt. And now that I got to go to an American doctor to unsquirt my butt.
Oh my God.
That's hard to explain to your doctor.
Yeah. Let alone my wife or anyone else.
What were you doing again?
Now, if this is too personal, just kick me under the table. Are both of you or either one of you wearing weaves and or wigs at this moment?
Yeah.
I have on a wig.
Yeah, she has on a wig and
you do, Shantae?
And I actually have on a sew-in. So this is hair from Asia that was sewn into braids on my scalp.
Because I got to tell you, the two of you, your hair looks absolutely amazing. Congratulations. And I mean, I'm no expert, of course, but I would have never known that the two of you are supplementing your follicle capabilities.
I think that's the beauty of the industry. You don't realize how fast it's growing because you can't tell anymore. When you think about a wig, you think about your grandmother in the 90s or 80s. And it's just grown so much. Technology is so much better. You can barely tell the difference between someone wearing their natural hair and someone who has hair extensions or a wig. We actually started including pictures of Kim Kardashian in our pitch deck, and someone commented why did you put her on there? She doesn't wear wigs. We were in the photo she has on a wig.
Now this is something the two of you told me when we first met, was some of the big time celebrities who wear wigs. Who are the other folks that wear wigs that maybe your average person would be surprised to find out that she or he is rocking a wig or a weave.
I feel like it's so prevalent these days that it would be easier to say who isn't wearing wigs or hair extensions. My favorite wig person right now is Beyonce.
Does Taylor Swift wear a wig or a weave most of the time?
I never saw Taylor in a wig. Have you?
I don't. Not to my knowledge. She might have like a little extensions for like some extra volume, but I don't think she is wearing them, a full wig. I would have to think about it.
Obviously, Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian, Khloe.
Kylie Jenner.
Who else?
Chrissy Teigen.
Meg Thee Stallion. Cardi B.
Well, if Cardi B's doing it, then I'm doing it.
She's so good, right? I love Cardi B. It's hard to Shantae's point, it's hard to pinpoint who is not wearing a wig.
Now, the two of you have incredible backgrounds. You have great educations. You've worked in some amazing places with some amazing people. And you're fairly younger in your career, fair to say that. Certainly earlier stage in your career than I am. And so what would have you leave, you know, big jobs at big companies who are well-established, where I'm sure they were paying you incredibly well after your fantastic careers? And Shantae, God bless you for your service to our country. Love veteran entrepreneurs. And as our dear friend Iron Mike calls you, a BVE, Black Veteran Entrepreneurs. And so the two of you have these amazing backgrounds. You're cousins. You could have done a lot of things together. Why become entrepreneurs? And then we'll get to why this.
For me, I was naive. I thought like, I was consulting at PwC, have an MBA from NYU. How hard can it be? I wanted more work-life balance.
Excellent. Let's become an entrepreneur. I want more work-life balance. Great idea, Shantae.
Very naive. But I'm so happy that I didn't know the journey ahead of us, because I don't think I would have signed up if I would have known how hard it was. Now we see things paying off. And it's exciting to see people getting excited about your brand, like to see people talking about the company, not knowing and you're attached to it. That gets us excited. But if I would have known how hard the journey was, I would not have volunteered.
One of the things we say around here is, in order to be an entrepreneur, you have to be stupid enough to think it's possible. Heavy on the stupid, right?
Heavy.
Very heavy.
Is it more work than you thought it would be, Lauren?
Yeah. So I was actually doing this part-time up until like a year ago, like last July. To be honest, I was just like thinking about my career. I was praying about it religiously, like, God, I know this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. What am I supposed to be doing in my corporate job? Or, you know, just show me the light, basically. I kid you not. That was like a Thursday prayer. Monday, I was laid off. So I was like, okay, I hear you loud and clear. You didn't have to tell me like that, but that's okay. And that's how I kind of knew, like, this was my ministry to do it. But yeah, it's a ton of work.
It's funny, Lauren, I think many of us have noticed this if we tap into it. And I know not everybody believes in God. That's fine. But the three of us do. And I think we're all three share a Christian belief. And at least for me in my life as well, Lauren, there are times where I swear it feels like God taps me on the shoulder and goes, psst, hey, over there, yeah. Not over there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And when that, and at first you don't listen, right? And you're like, okay, is this really you talking? But I heard him loud and clear that time. It was actually like perfect timing, because we had just got accepted into Techstars. So we hit the ground running from there.
So let's talk about that. Techstars, one of the top programs for new founders. And how did you get into Techstars?
We applied. We knew that we needed that technical stamp of credibility. So we applied to Techstars because a lot of investors we were meeting with wanted to group us with traditional CPG companies. So we said, okay, how do we get that tech credibility? Because our long-term vision for WellCapped is to become the Netflix for beauty products. So we applied to Techstars. We ended up getting in. And like Laura said, we hit the ground running. It was like from sunup to sundown, working on the company for what, 3 months straight, maybe longer than that.
Yeah, it was about 3 months. Shantae also did the, while I was in corporate, she actually did the Techstars Catalyst program. And I think that really helped her kind of see what Techstars was, one, but also have a chance to like build that relationship with the team.
And so after the good Lord laid you off, Lord.
Oh my gosh.
The two of you had just, Shantae had just gotten into Techstars and you were just getting started. So what's that experience? You leave your corporate job and you're shot into the accelerator incubator that is Techstars, one of the better known ones, one of the tougher ones to get into.
That experience, I would definitely say, was an eye opener. I knew Shantae had been working hard, but I didn't know it was that damn hard. I was like, okay, wait a second. I'm working harder here than I was at my corporate job. But it was something that was also rewarding because I find that Shantae and I both had this like real type of competitive, resilient spirit that we really want to prove people wrong. So we found that passion within each other and we're working day and night together. Then we did the pitch and then just trying to fundraise in the midst of that, but also change the perspective of renting wigs and educating our customers. It was a lot, but I can confidently say now that that perspective from a marketing perspective has definitely changed. And now they're like, oh, I should have been renting wigs. This is genius. So I think it all paid off in the end.
So one of the things we talk about in category design, particularly, well, on any dimension, but especially when looking at what problem do we solve, right? There are known problems, that is to say obvious problems with existing now obvious solutions. There are known problems, obvious problems with new, different, non-obvious solutions. And of course, there's non-obvious problems with obvious solutions, and non-obvious problems with non-obvious solutions. And so what is the, other than Auntie's great insight that maybe people might like this from the early part of the turn of the century, what is it around, why is there a category here, ladies? Why would somebody believe that there's an opportunity to, quote unquote, rent the runway or Netflix, whatever analogy you want to use, for wigs and weaves, particularly Shantae, with what you said, it's kind of gross.
I think if you were looking at that on a, using your framework, if you were looking at it on a 2x2 matrix, we would fall on the not obvious problem and not obvious solution, which is a blessing and a curse. So the insight that we saw was that people were starting to look at their hair as an accessory or a form of self-expression. So people are now starting to play around with colors, textures, lengths, and that's being driven by them watching their favorite influencers like the Kardashians, like Beyonce, like the Cardi B's, and seeing them switch up their hair. And the consumers are starting to follow that same behavior, but they don't have the same money that the Kardashians have. So the wig that I'm wearing now, if I was to go out and buy it, I would have spent at least $700, $800 on it because of the color and the length of it. And the average consumer can't afford that. But according to Forbes, they are spending $1,800 annually on hair extensions and wigs. And then when you look at TikTok, to Lauren's point earlier, if you look at like the timeline of a Gen Zer, they're wearing these colorful hair, playful hair, different color, different. They're really embracing the hair enhancements. And we wanted to make it affordable for the average consumer to be able to accessorize, think of their hair as an accessory without breaking the bank.
So cool. And so what color would you describe? Because I'm looking at your hair right now and it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it is gorgeous. And I could describe the color, but I, you know, as a dude, we only know some basic colors. Like I remember the first time somebody said chartreuse to me. I was like, what do you mean? I thought there was red, blue, green chartreuse. So anyways, what color is your wig that you're wearing right now, Shantae?
A honey copper.
A honey copper. Actually, yes. That's a good description of it. And it seems to go great with your hair. Like, I'm assuming your natural hair is that darker that we see more towards the middle of your head. Yes.
Well, all of this. Yes.
Yeah.
I dye my natural hair too.
To match the wig.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it the color, just even on a internet video camera, I mean, your hair looks radiant. It looks incredible. I mean, it would never have ever occurred to me as a layman that you're wearing a wig. I mean, the color, the shape, the length, the whole thing, it looks totally natural with your, I can't tell where your hair, regular hair begins and where your wig or weave or whatever it is starts. So the copper honey looks amazing on you.
Yeah, we found that pitching with our actual wigs on and being able to say, like, the one I have on now has been a game changer, because then if we're pitching in person, people are coming up to us and saying, oh, I had no clue you were wearing a wig. So, yeah.
And Lauren, let's figure out what do you got going on with your also equally beautiful but yet different hair?
So I have some highlights in mine. So you can see, like, it's like my natural hair color, but it's like a little like brown and a little honey blonde in there too. If I would have did this to my natural hair, which I didn't at all, I did it before in the past and it actually broke off my hair. And I, instead of like leaving with these like long curls, it was more like a DW bob. It was not the vibe for me. So that's why I'm grateful to have extensions and wigs, because I can experiment and see how it looks before I kind of make that big commitment.
So those highlights I see, every one of those highlights, that's a weave.
That's all weave.
Even though it just looks like, you know, my wife Carrie, when she goes, particularly, heading towards the summertime of the year, she's of Italian descent, so dark hair. She does naturally get some light tones in the summer, like a lot of folks do. But generally, heading into the summer, she'll get a little bit of help from the stylist's bottle. To help that along. And so in this case, you did not do that. Mm-hmm. Your natural color is your natural color. And the color that I see right now in your hair is from a well-capped product.
Yep, exactly. And it's just a lot safer.
And what color do we call that?
I would say honey blonde. That's what I'm getting, that kind of
honey blonde.
Honey blonde.
Yeah.
Getting that vibe.
It looks fantastic on
you. Thank you.
The two of you have stunning hair. I mean, absolutely stunning hair. And so the insight here, ladies, is if I'm somebody who is now thinking of my hair as a fashion accessory, maybe the way I would a bag or my clothes or shoes or makeup. Yes?
Yes.
And that's a shift in thinking, is it not?
Absolutely.
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
And when did that shift happen, and how, in category design, we talk about from twos, Frodo's, right? When did that from wigs as being sort of not fashion to wigs becoming more fun and fashion, when did that from start, and how big is the two, if you will, getting?
It goes back to the 90s, honestly. People started to play around with their hair and look at their hair as an accessory, especially in the African-American community. But now we're seeing, like, people are using hair extensions and wigs instead of doing it to their natural hair. And the reason why is because putting a lot of heat on your natural hair. So Lauren and I both have naturally curly hair. If we were to wear our hair like this every day, it would mess up our curl pattern. So instead of you putting a lot of heat on your natural hair, you wear wigs and hair extensions to get the different types of looks.
And it's just safer to color. So for instance, right now, I don't think my doctor, so I don't know if I told you, Chris, but I'm pregnant. I'm 6 months along right now. I'm due in August.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you always see me.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're having a girl.
Yeah, I can only see you from the neck up. I have no idea that you're making people right now.
Yeah, making a baby girl. She'll be here in early August. So I'm getting prepared for that too. But when I think about...
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But I was saying, like, when I think about my hair and dyeing my hair, a lot of, like, stories and articles have been about dyeing your hair while you're pregnant. It's really not recommended. So this is a good, safe option for me to be still be able to try out different colors and lengths without having that, like, bad flashback, basically.
And is there sort of a, excuse my ignorance, Lauren, but is there kind of like a certain kind of look that certain pregnant gals are going for these days with their hair that WellCapped is helping out with? Or tell me about your hair situation as you're making people.
I would say not necessarily a certain look, but more so the convenience of it. Because we're already so tired and the last thing we want to worry about is our hair. So being able to just like throw on a wig every morning and still be able to like take care of your natural hair underneath is very fast. So when I go to bed at night, I just put like maybe one or two pin curls in this, since this is actually sewn on my head, and a ponytail, and wake up like this. So like Beyonce said, I woke up like this.
So you can wake up fabulous whenever it's time to wake up. Even when you wake up in the middle of the night to go potty, your hair looks awesome.
Yeah, hair is still looking good.
And I've known many a pregnant gal. My beloved niece Holly just gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, and we're very Aww. Excited about our new baby and our family. And of course, I'm a dude, so you know, caveat. But to your point, the pregnant gals that I have known and loved in my life, they are tired. They are scared in some cases. Not all pregnancies are easy. Last time I checked, even quote unquote easier pregnancies, morning sickness isn't fun, and lots of other things that happen aren't necessarily fun. And women aren't necessarily feeling their best at multiple stages of the pregnancy. And so this is leading to a question, which is, I got to believe if I'm a pregnant gal going through some of those things, but I still want to look cute. I still want to look great. I still want to feel like myself. Having this this alternative must be somewhat liberating.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on top of that, it's affordable, right? You're trying to save up money for your kid and make sure that you have everything there. I mean, yeah, you have baby showers, but you still want to have like a nice cushion there too. So to be able to like look fabulous, but also save money was a game changer for me. Even if I didn't have WellCapped, I would still be wearing extensions.
So it's the convenience and it's the money thing as well, right? Because yep. Shante, if I go back to your honey hair, you said that would be about how much to buy that wig that you're currently wearing?
$700 or $800.
$700 or $800. And so if I'm, Lauren, to get back to you for a second, if I'm a pregnant gal, I'm saving money, I'm thinking about everything from cribs to college and everything in right. between, maybe I might not want to spend $700 right now on a wig to feel good about myself, because I'm investing, saving for my family, my child. Yes?
Exactly. Yeah. I could only imagine trying to explain that to my financial savvy husband right now. He'd be like, you've paid what on what? We still need a crib. So yeah, this works for now.
Well, and I grew up with a single mom, and most single moms that I've known of that era and of this era for that matter are not exactly bazillionaires rolling in dough. Many of the single moms I have known, my mother for sure, worked extraordinarily hard, long hours, to try to take care of us. And mothers in general, I don't overly sort of stereotype, but are incredibly giving. And mothers generally, at least the great ones I know, put their children and their families first and themselves third, fourth, or never. And so I hear women talk about, certainly mothers talk about the decadence of little luxuries that they can afford themselves in a world where they're always last in line.
I feel like I have to make sure that you haven't been tapping into our phone lines, because Lauren and I literally had a conversation today where we were trying to tap into that messaging. We're working on getting new boxes, and we want the unboxing to be an experience. So we were like, okay, what can we put on the inside of the box so it opens up like a book and we're telling you a story? And this guy from a boot camp I went to had basically, he wrote this down for us, and it's what you just said. So let me read it. So here's what we're thinking about putting in the boxes, and you tell me your opinion. As women, we serve. Let me pause there. So I don't know if you know this, but serve is also like a play on words. Like, have you ever heard anyone say, okay, girl, go serve? It's a compliment of like the highest regard. But to say like, oh, you're serving today is like a very good compliment.
Is it like you're being a good person today, or you're looking good today, or what is?
You look good. Like, okay, I see you serving. Okay, go girl.
So you're serving today means.
You don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race, I see. But like.
you'll forgive me, but I think RuPaul is amazing, but it's not my show. Yes.
If someone says, like, okay, I see you, okay, serve, then that's a very, very good compliment. It means, like, you look really good. So keep that context in mind, and then I'll read what the guy wrote for us. And I don't think he knew that when he wrote this. He may have, but I don't think. As women, we serve. We serve to a fault. Every day the world takes pieces of us, our time, our purpose, our self-esteem, leaving you empty. Take yourself back, put those pieces back together with WellCapped. We start from the top. You like it?
I do. I think it's great. And I'm no expert on women, God knows. And this is something I hear from my women friends and a lot from my mom women friends, particularly moms who have children who are maybe more needy, you know, maybe younger or whatever the case may be, right? Where this is a huge challenge, and most women I know do want to look their best, and most women I know don't feel like they have a lot of time to look their best.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're 100%.
Yeah, Shantae, she actually has a 5-year-old, well, almost 5-year-old.
You have a 5-year-old now, Lauren?
I have a 4-year-old. No, I have a 4-year-old.
You have a 4-year-old.
Yes. So I know what it's like to like feel like you're juggling everything and to feel like you don't have time to be like the best mother, to show up and be like all of the places you have to show up and put your best foot forward. So we did build WellCapped for the people who want to like look and feel their best without breaking the bank, but also like everyone deserves luxury. We're really big on that. We don't think it should be this exclusive club. So we want to make WellCapped accessible. And we thought about that when we were coming up with the pricing, the messaging. Like, we think everyone deserves a piece of luxury.
And so let's talk about that. If I am a gal or a guy, for that matter, I would imagine there is a percentage of men who are interested as well, right, for various reasons. And I hear about WellCapped and I go, ooh, renting weaves, renting wigs. How do I go about doing it? What do I pay? What do I get? How's the whole thing work?
So at WellCapped, you go right now, we're direct to consumer. You go to www.wellcapped.com, you select your style, and then we ship it out to you. And it comes ready to wear. So it's clipped up, pinned up. You get it, you take the pins out, and it's curled already. You don't have to style it. When you're done with it, we send you in your box. It comes with a pre-labeled polymeller. And when you're done with it, you put it in that pre-labeled polymeller, send it back to us, drop it off at UPS. And then we work with local contractors to handle the washing, sanitization, and restyling of that hair. But we are starting a stylist program where we work with local stylists to basically incentivize them to refer their clients to us. And then we share the revenue with them. So that is something that'll be rolling out this quarter. We're really excited about it. We're building it out. I think that is going to be like the thing that really accelerates growth.
Sounds very exciting, ladies. I'm stoked to hear about that. And I got to believe if I'm a stylist, and again, you can tell it's been a while since I went to a stylist of any kind. Although about every 3 or 4 years, my wife does get me to go for a pedicure. But that's about as far as I get to a stylist. But I got to believe if I'm a stylist that, I'm always looking for new and innovative ways to serve my clients. And B, I'm always looking for new and innovative ways to increase my revenue, to be able to offer a little bit more, Of course, one of the greatest questions in the history of business. Would you like fries with that? Right. And so I'm looking for what's the next. Would you like fries with that? If I'm a stylist, am I not?
100%. So what we're right now, when we're incentivizing stylists, we're doing it through the rev share model. But as Lauren and I think about what's next for WellCap, if you think about someone who's spending $1,800 on their hair, they are hyper consumers of beauty products, meaning they're spending a lot of money on cosmetics, hair care. So what we're trying to figure out is what's next, what category do we want to go into next? And I think working with the stylist will help us figure out what that next product needs to be. It wouldn't be through a rental model, though.
Fascinating. So you see getting into consumable products, consumer goods, fashion, makeup, other types of accessories potentially, and who knows? What are the unserved needs that are either obvious or non-obvious that are connected to hair or maybe slightly adjacent to hair?
We think there's a lot of room still in the hair care space, just making sure you're taking care of the hair up under the wig or the hair extensions. My hair grew longer than it's ever grown over the last 2 years, just because I'm not putting heat on the natural hair anymore because I'm wearing the wigs. But now it's how do you take care of it and retain that growth? So we're trying to figure out what those products would look like. And is there already something on the market?
It's interesting you bring that up. We not long ago had my buddy Carl Deichler on, and he's the founder of Body, used to be called Beach Body. And a very similar idea or approach happened for him. Did you hear the episode, Shante? I see you kind of nodding.
I started listening to it. I have to go back and finish it, but I loved Beach Body when I was in the military.
Oh, did you?
We actually would use, yeah, the videos for PT.
P90X and things like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then what was the other one?
Insanity.
Yes.
With Shante. Yeah. Not that I have anything against Tony Horton, I don't, but I was more of a Shante guy than I was a Tony guy.
Same.
There's something about
Same.
His mojo and something about him that I really loved. Anyway, if you've gotten this far in the episode, you might have heard some of this, where Carl hates, quote unquote, vegetables. Hates them. And he actually doesn't like working out either. He says at one point in the conversation something to the effect of, I'd rather be running a pizza and ice cream company and look like I do. Anyway, long story longer, Shante, one of the things that Carl shares is how he hates vegetables, but he knows he needs to eat them. And so he tasked his team years ago with creating a supplement that would taste great and that would get him his vegetables so that he never had to shove another one down his throat. And that was the genesis of what today is called Shakeology. And my understanding is Shakeology is one of the best-selling products like that in the market, Insto Food. I happen to personally love it. I'm biased, but it tastes incredible to me. Anyway, I guess my point is necessity has always been the mother of invention. And so there might be a Shakeology sitting underneath our wigs.
I would love that. Yes, I used to be a big Shakeology fan too.
And so let's talk about once you go from vision and sort of big idea to how you codify the idea and begin to fund the business and get the business up and running.
Yeah, so for us, I think we started a little bit backwards because we knew we wanted to be entrepreneurs, but we didn't have an idea yet. So after our aunt gave us the ideal, I always knew that I wanted to come up with this company that used data to help people find the products that they needed. I felt like it was dumb to spend hours on YouTube researching different makeup products, different hair care products. And other people have tried to tackle the same thing. Like even Sephora, with all of the data they have to have, has not figured out how to recommend products to people because there are so many nuances. But with WellCap, we're able to collect a lot of data up front because we're a subscription model and because we're working with people who clearly care about how they look. We're able to collect that data up front. So I believe that WellCap will be the catalyst to get us to that model that allows us to put the right products in front of the right consumers. Now, with the funding part, I think we had three issues. The first one is trying to show investors how big the market was, because people didn't believe us when we said it's a multi-billion dollar market that's growing. And right now it's at $13 billion globally, and it's supposed to be at $20 billion by the end of the decade. People didn't believe us. And the reason why is because if you're looking for wigs on people, like if you wouldn't have known Lauren and I were wearing hair extensions or wigs until we told you. So I don't think people realize how fast the market is growing, because you can't really see it. And then the second thing was, of course, the economic downturn that happened. Everyone was just experiencing the pinch when it came to raising money in 2023. And then the third thing is, I think just as Black women going out and raising money, there's a bit, you have to, with everything, you just have to want it more. You have to put in more work. You have to reach out to more people. So doing that while also trying to do the same with our, we're convincing investors how big the market is, but we also have to invest, convince our consumers that this isn't totally gross. So now we finally got it together, which is why, like, I think back in 2023, I had a conversation with Lauren, like, I don't know, if we don't see something turn around, I might have to go back to corporate. But now we're finally starting to see, like, the fruits of our labor pay off. And not to say that it's easier, but now, like, I think I know that both of us are so convinced, like, and both of us are both hard-headed people too. Like, if you tell us no, we're going to find 20 ways to prove you wrong, which is good and bad. But now, like, that we're starting to see everything come together and starting to see people excited, it's just, you have that fuel, that spark to get through the hard times. When you see your customers, like, telling you how our company has changed their lives, it gives you the fuel that you need to keep going on the bad days.
And I hate to ask the question. I don't want to ask the question. And I hope we come to a day very soon where we don't have to have this part of the discussion. But you mentioned it, so I'll ask. Female, Black, what's that like trying to raise funds for this kind of a company?
Well, I think Lauren and I both had the type of attitude where it's like, hey, here's the opportunity. Here's what it is. Are you in or out? We're not going to, if we have to convince you, we're willing to put in the work, but we're not willing to convince you that this is worth it. Like, that's just not us. And we don't have the time for that, to play that game. Like, let your no be your no. And that allows us to focus on the people who are believing in us and the people who will have our back. Because if I'm already trying to convince you and change your mind in the beginning, we're going to constantly be playing from our back foot, and we don't have time for that. So, but the one thing that we told ourselves is, like, we have to be excellent. Like, we can't play games. We have to get shit done when we say we're going to get it done. Like, we have to, we have to be tight. And, like, we say it all the time, like, we're good at calling ourselves out on shit. Excuse my language. But, like, you'll
have
hear
you
us
met
talk
me
to
yet,
each other. But we'll talk to each other like, okay, we're good right now, but that's not good enough. Like, we have to be excellent. Okay, so what do we have to do to become excellent? And we're constantly having that conversation when we feel ourselves not doing what we're supposed to be doing, or when we notice that our turnaround times are too long, we're constantly, like, sharpening each other and saying, oh, this was good, but here's what we need to do next. That was okay, but here's what we need to do to take it to the next level. Because good is not good enough when you're two Black girls talking about weaves and wigs.
And that fight that Shante was just explaining is nothing new either. We had to do that, you know, growing up, especially in the corporate world, trying to prove ourselves in the Big Four at that, trying to go up against, you know, your peers and get, like, that. They used to have this thing called a snapshot, and you would see how you're performing against your peers. And I know they had it at PwC too, but it was just like, to be at the top of that, you had to claw your way through. And that was something that I believe that we both have taken from our work experience to bring over to WellCap to make sure that we weren't being good, but being excellent.
And on top of that, we aren't from like California or New York. We are from Ohio. Lauren grew up in Cleveland. I grew up in Canton. So we also had that geographical disadvantage where like we're not in cities where you get exposure to people who are playing the venture capital game. But like Lauren went on to get her MBA from LSU, went on to work at Deloitte. So we're used to like constantly defying the odds and charging our own path. We're used to it. So.
Well, and look, I'm probably the wrong person because I fall in love with the different fast, sometimes too fast. And so I think maybe say this a different way. In category design, one of the things we teach people is, what if your bugs are features? And so there's something powerful, endearing, and from a business point of view, leads me to believe that you have some insights because you're from the middle of the country, because you're not from the sexiest part of the country, because all of those things. Ashante, in your case, you're a veteran. You know, you're quote unquote real women from a very real part of the country with, I'm assuming, very real friends and family and real people that you make and real people that you make the people with and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's something wonderful and charming and frankly, an advantage that you don't live in San Francisco, L.A. or New York or Austin.
That's a good point, too. I remember when I was in the military. So after you commission as an officer, you have to go train in whatever your specialty is. So I was an intel officer. I had to go to Fort Huachuca. And I was one of two Black girls. The other Black girl looked nothing like me, but people constantly got us confused, which was good for me, but bad for her. Good for me because she was really good at what she did. Bad for her because people had thought she was Frasier, and I was not good in the military. But I remember there was a day when everyone was skipping PT. And the first person that the sergeant recognized wasn't there was me. And that day I decided not to skip. I was like, oh, something told me, like, make sure you're at PT this morning. And I went out, but it was dark outside. And when the sergeant like started counting, normally they didn't count, but she counted and was like, where's Frasier? And I was like, dang, I'm right here. But I remember being so frustrated because I'm like, I'm always going to be the person who they remember. But then to your point, I thought about it more like, oh, that could be an advantage too. Like I could be the person who stands out and who they remember if I do it right. Now in the military, that didn't work to my advantage because I was not good at running. I wasn't good at shooting. I was not good at camping.
How were you at push-ups? Drop 5 and give me 25.
I can do push-ups and sit-ups. I can do push-ups and sit-ups. I'm very good at those. But everything else was not my forte. But when I got to corporate, I started using me being the only Black woman in the table to my advantage because I knew I would stand out. Even now when pitching, I made sure I used that to my advantage. Like they're going to remember my story. We have a fun company. No one else is really talking about wigs and hair extensions. So I would constantly use that to my advantage.
And how about you, Lauren?
Yeah, it's the same thing. We were actually just attended a wonderful event by a friend, Tiana, and she was hosting Fawn Weaver from, why is it slipping me? I know it, Uncle Nearest, yes.
Uncle Nearest.
Yes. Uncle Nearest,
And she was a phenomenal speaker, by the way. So we were just really excited to be in the space. But she said the same thing. She said that's not a, it's not a disadvantage to be the only Black woman in the room. It is the advantage. They're going to remember you. So that is what is carrying us forward because, and that's why when we show up, we have a hair company, but we got to make sure our hair is on point, but we also need to make sure like our deck is on point and everything. And we just take that very seriously because without it, then we're just a little fly on the wall and we don't deserve that. So
That's awesome. And what's, so walk me through, so the company is up and running.
Yep.
We're taking orders. We have customers. We're shipping weaves and wigs. We're cleaning them in this wonderful way so that nobody has to be spooked. They feel new every time, right? They feel new, look new. They're ready to wear the minute I get them. And so that's where we are today, roughly, yes?
Yes.
Yes, that is why we're also working on the stylist program, which is why I ran out of concealer, because I'm constantly trying to make it look like I don't have bags up under my eyes. But yeah, we have a lot of fun and exciting things going on. We just made it to the final round of the NYU Entrepreneur Challenge. So yeah, we have a lot of fun things happening right now, but Lauren and I are trying to like make sure we're getting sharper on prioritizing like what do we need to do now and what can get on the back burner. I think as an entrepreneur, it's easy to fall into the trap of feeling like everything's a fire. Everything needs to be put out right now. Everything needs to be on the front burners. So now just trying to be smarter about how we're allocating time.
There's an old Stephen Covey mantra about this, about being addicted to the urgent and unimportant and trying to figure out the difference between the urgent and important and the urgent and not the urgent and important and the urgent that is not important. And of course, he has a 2x2 on this one. Have you seen it? You're nodding. No. He says that the most valuable thing that we can be doing is the thing that is not urgent and important. But because many of us are addicted to the urgent, that's the high order bit that we never get to, is the not urgent and important. Anyway, what do you two think about sort of the midterm to longer term future for Well-Capped? Where do you see this category and obviously the company going?
Speaking of that 2x2, so for us, the important but not urgent thing that we're working on right now would be that stylist program. If you think about right now, stylists are sending people to hair vendors overseas with longer shipping times. If we can really cut through and interject ourselves and have them start sending their clients to WellCap, I think that is where we achieve true product market fit, and making sure that we're like incentivizing them, sharing revenue with them. So that's one of our focuses. But then we're trying to figure out if we want to go deeper on hair extensions and wigs, or if we need to start looking at adjacent categories earlier. So we're going to be doing a little bit of planning around that, doing some math, figuring out what the opportunity is for both game plans and then moving forward. But again, we're always building towards that long-term vision of becoming the Netflix and a recommendation model for all beauty products.
And what advice would you have for younger entrepreneurs who are sort of where you were several years ago, and maybe they're dreaming of their idea, or maybe their auntie just said something really smart and they think, maybe auntie's not so dumb after all. What would you advise them to do, particularly if they're gals like you were several years back?
I would say, I know people always say this, but go for it. When we get talked to about Well-Capped, a lot of people will say, oh, I had that idea. Oh, my friend also had that idea, but she never did anything with it. So do it. Do it before somebody else takes it from you, one. But also, don't be afraid to network. Go to those different pitch competitions. Go to those different networking opportunities within your city, because you never know who you might meet. And that is the beauty of entrepreneurship, and having that network is worth everything in the world.
And for me, I would just say, don't let your fear be your king. So earlier we were talking about our faith and just trusting God. If you have a voice in your head, whatever you pray to, if you have a voice in your head that's telling you to do something, to Lauren's point, if God, to me, the way I look at my faith and the way I trust God, God is going to stay true to his plan no matter what. He's not going to wait for you to make up your mind. I know so many people who said, like, oh, I had the idea for Uber before, like, Uber came out. I had the idea for Airbnb. God isn't going to wait for you to decide to go after it. Like, if it's not you, the next person will get the vision. And so trust your faith. Do not let fear be your king. And then, yeah, once you commit to something, you keep moving forward to it. I just wake up. I take 30 minutes to pray and read my Bible every morning. And I always ask for a download. Like, God, what's the next step? What's the next step? So
that is so powerful. I love it. And I love that you both are open and free about it. You know, I think people who believe in their faith, I think it's wonderful if they can share it. And particularly share it in a way that's empowering. And, you know, when I go by any house of worship of any faith, the thing I'm always looking for is the sign that says all are welcome. And the people who are the most religious that I know, regardless of the religion, are the ones who are the most open and can share their faith in a way, but they're not weird and creepy about it, if you know what I mean. I try not to be weird and creepy about my faith. Now, I'd also be remiss. I think the two of you are intuitive category designers. Obviously, when we first met, it was a thrill for me to find out that fairly early on in this WellCap journey, you two got your hands on a copy of Play Bigger. And so I'd be curious to ask you, what are your thoughts today about category design, maybe in general and in specific, how you're category designing really a brand new market here?
So yeah, before the accelerator I mentioned, Generator, that I applied to 2 days before the deadline, the welcome box that they gave us and our homework was to read Play Bigger, which is why it was such a full circle moment when I got on the call with you. I ended up texting the program manager from that program and told him, like, I'm talking to Chris tomorrow. Like, I sent him a screenshot of the calendar invite, was very excited. But one thing that really stood out from the book that we're actually using as we think about branding and messaging is developing your POV. Like, what's our POV? How do we see the world? And how do we exactly, how do we see the world today? And how do we build a defense around that? And the way that we, it's what we talked about earlier, like the world is changing, starting with our hair. People are now thinking of their hair as an accessory. And how do we make sure that we're defending our POV, which is what we're working on now? Like, what is our moat that we're building?
Well, and as we've talked about, there are lots of kinds of moats. And many of them can be very powerful. And the greatest moat of all is owning a problem. Because, of course, when you own the problem, you become the solution. And so the problem of how do I make my hair awesome? How do I treat it like a fashion accessory and have fun with it and not break the bank? That's going to be a problem for a very long time, I would imagine. Maybe not for me, but for lots of millions of other folks.
We just hired our first PR firm. And one thing that Lauren and I have been very clear about is not talking about WellCap, but instead talking about the category. So we're big on introducing the category. We came up with a name. I should have asked you for your feedback, but we're the wig and hair extension rentals. So that's what we're calling ourselves. When we're talking in any like interview or magazine, we're only talking about the category. And then we'll plug it at the end. Like, by the way, we have WellCapped and we happen to have a solution for that problem.
Well, I love everything that you just said, Shante. And you know, the interesting thing about the category name, this is where a lot of marketers get confused. They confuse category and branding. They think the category has to have some whiz-bang, super, I don't know what, brand-like name. And that actually undermines the category. The name needs to be simple. It needs to be something that a human would say to another human. It needs to be something the Wall Street Journal would actually write when describing you. And so describing the category as Wig and Weave Rentals. Look, does it sound sexy? Does it sound whiz bang? No, but you know what? It's descriptively correct. And then the name Well Capped, that's where the fun starts. You know, it's like our friends at Dude Wipes. Well, the category is wipes for dudes. And then they came up with a great brand name. And then, of course, in a different way than you two do, but the Dude Wipes dudes have a lot of fun and are very silly. And I don't think you guys are quite as silly, but you do have a lot of fun. It's hair. It's fashion. We're doing this for fun. We're doing this so that when we show up at the party, people say how cute we look. And we talk about our dress and our skirt and our bag and our hair and our whatever, right? This is supposed to be fun, yes?
Exactly. Yep.
Well, ladies, I hope you know how inspired I am by you, how much I love this vision, how much I love everything about what the two of you are doing. It really is absolutely amazing. I'm so stoked and honored to be doing a little bit of work with the two of you and to be involved. I really am. I'm so glad. I want to thank Iron Mike Stedman for putting us together because I think what you're doing is amazing. And it's something that the traditional Silicon Valley startup world that I've spent my professional life in misses, because the traditional startup Silicon Valley world is not full of gals from the middle of the country who are not necessarily 58-year-old white dudes with no hair.
No, we are so inspired by you. I remember after our first conversation with you, my first conversation with you, I called Laura and like, oh my God, you are not going to believe it. But you definitely gave us the motivation that we needed to keep going, and just your words of affirmation. We are so grateful that we met you. So thank you, Iron Mike, for the connection.
Yes, thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to touch on, Shantae and Lauren, before we wrap?
No, nothing. This was great. This was actually my very first podcast. So thank you for the opportunity. I loved it. I hope to do many more with you soon. Maybe next one in Italy. That would be dope.
Ooh, I'll do a podcast in Italy with you anytime. You name the time and I'll be there.
Speaking it into existence.
I'm particularly grumpy when I go. There's so many restaurants here on the West Coast that have wonderful California wines, but they don't have any of my favorite Italian reds. So I'll happily meet you in Italy anytime you want. Oh my God. And congratulations, ladies. What an inspiring company. What an inspiring partnership you two have. Lauren, you're amazing. I think that, you know, today CEOs, founders, entrepreneurs must be evangelists for their mission. And Lauren, I'm surprised to hear this is your first podcast. You're a natural evangelist. You're a natural missionary. And I think the two of you are a dynamic duo. And I think as the category and, of course, WellCap, the company continues to grow, having the two of you front and center out in the world, sharing your experiences. I mean, you're two extraordinary women living very gigantic lives, starting a business for women. I don't know. I think the world wants to hear about that. I know I do.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're so
great. This has been great. And thank you for always affirming us and letting us know that we're that girl. So thank you.
You are that girl. You're both of you are that girl. Thank you both very much. And look forward to chatting very soon. Bless you.
Bye.
That was the legendary Shantae Frazier and Lauren Mitchell of WellCapped. Learn all there is to know about their amazing category-defining business at WellCapped.com. Don't forget that podcasts make great gifts. Share two podcasts you love with two people you love. And make sure you follow us today on your podcast player of choice. We'd like to thank you. We appreciate you investing part of your life with us. Are you drowning in endless tasks? Hire a dedicated distant assistant from Bottleneck and reclaim your time. Their remote pros handle everything from admin to analysis with unparalleled efficiency. Say goodbye to bottlenecks and hello to newfound freedom. Stop working harder, start working smarter. Affordable, reliable support awaits at bottleneck.online. Unlock your true potential. Hire your dedicated distant assistant today at bottleneck.online. Your website is the first thing people see about your business. Is it legendary? For over 20 years, the experts at Entrenet have been building preeminent B2B websites in Silicon Valley. They're the agency that helps tech companies conquer their category with purpose-built, beautiful web experiences. If it's time for a rapid relaunch of your B2B website, visit Entre.net. Their proven methodology will take your site from ho-hum to epic in just a matter of weeks. Stop settling for average. Partner with the B2B website agency that delivers category-defining results. Head to Entre.net to get started. That's A-T-R-E.net. Are you ready to learn the greatest superpower in business category design? That's where the Category Pirates come in. Learn how to create different futures, design and dominate markets in the first business newsletter written for and by pirates. Go to CategoryPirates.com today and get your butt in gear. Today's information is provided to you solely for informational purposes. This oddcast is the sole property of the Lockhead Oddcast Network, and it contains content known to the state of California to cause radically non-obvious thinking, new categories, and exponential results. All oddcasts contain nuts, all rights disturbed. Please contact your doctor, lawyer, accountant, yoga instructor, shaman, and category designer before doing anything about anything you hear here today. Warning, in California, drivers blocking traffic in the left-hand lane by law can receive a $269 fine. So please, don't be lame. Get out of the passing lane. Everything is the way that it is because somebody changed the way that it was. This episode was produced and edited by me, Jason DeFilippo. Sarah Knox and Jamie J handle the website and technical execution. Show notes by GM Simon. RJ and EX Bobus do our web development. Cedric Biros does our graphic and web design. Our law firm is Weed and Jack. Our accountants are three balance sheets to the wind. We record on squadcast.fm. Joan Jett was right. Listen to the Tragically Hip. Thanks, Candy Dandy, and hey, Colin, this oddcast really ties the room together. Our deepest apologies go out to Shengpeng Xiao. You only got 4 months, but we'll still never have time for you. Till next time, stay safe, stay legendary, and follow your different.